We have for the last few weeks been looking at person in the Trinity as far as we're concerned today, because in the end of the day, I hope you've come to realize the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a real divine dynamic person. And over the last 2 weeks, we have looked at the Holy Spirit and we have found out lots of things about the Holy Spirit. And we know and are convinced that in this church, there needs to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean to say there's anything wrong with us. It means to say that in order for us to move from where we want to be, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to move across Pipe Hayes from the Bagot Arms to the Littles. And we're walking around the streets on a Tuesday night praying and asking for the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. And then we talked last week on the Holy Spirit, and I gave that demonstration of the aftershave, if you remember. I still haven't had enough yet to buy David Beckham every day of the week, just in case for those of you who were here. So I'm still on my Lynx. Yes, I'm using Lynx. I'm still using my Lynx aftershave, and I still have not had people chasing me down the street. So I am utterly convinced now that advertisement is pure advertisement to get you into buying a product that doesn't do what it says. But the Holy Spirit does. Now, I don't know about you. You may have hundreds, perhaps thousands of friends on a social network. But have you ever experienced true friendship with one person, with someone? True friendship. If you have, you know the difference between having a friend and an online friend. You'll know the difference because your friend that's not online on your social network is an authentic friend. Let me read you something from a magazine. It's a true story. It was written in the New York Times magazine. A man called Hal wrote about his experience of starting his Facebook account. For those of you who don't know, I'm sure you all do, because I see most of you on your Facebook accounts now. But Facebook is something where we invite friends or family and we share some personal things and just some things in general. Well, Hal decided that he wanted to do this, and he wrote to the New York Times magazine, and he said, listen, he said, I accumulated, he said, 700 friends within a matter of a few hours. I was absolutely proud of what I achieved. He said, so many friends. He said, some were even strangers. But he said, I signed them up anyway. The irony was that while he was online, he actually had fewer friends than he physically saw. So he decided that he would turn his Facebook into real close friends. So he wrote on Facebook to every one of those 700 people, listen, he said, I'm going to meet you in my favorite local bar. He said, I'm inviting you on a certain day. 15 of them said they would turn up out of the 700. 60 of them said they might be there. So he guessed, well, perhaps I'll get 20 people out of the 700 who will actually show up. That evening, he showered himself, he splashed, he put on some cologne, put on a nice set of clothes, and he headed out to this local pub that he was hoping he was going to meet his Facebook friends. Eventually, one person showed up. It was a woman who didn't know him, but she happened to be a friend of a friend. And they ended up having small talk, and she left. And Hal sat at the bar alone and waited until midnight. He concluded in his New Times article that these words were, 700 friends, and I was drinking alone that night. You see, we can all gather friends from Facebook. I've got loads of them from my place in Reading. But they're no longer close acquaintance friends in which I would say I had an intimate, in-depth relationship with. But I believe the Holy Spirit can be like that. I believe the Holy Spirit can be a Facebook friend instead of being a friend who is intimately involved in every day of working in our lives. We'll know something about him. And we'll be able to go into Facebook and we'd find out perhaps some things that he's doing. But I wonder if the Holy Spirit is a revelation to me when I wake up tomorrow morning and will still be there, is a revelation when I go to bed. I wonder if the Spirit of God is so moving in me that I won't say the Holy Spirit is a friend on Facebook, but I would say that He was a friend who I know intimately well. Jesus, or the Father, said in Ephesians as He wrote to Paul, that you might know the power of His resurrection. That you might know it. You might know that power that rose up Jesus Christ from the dead. You might experience it yourselves. God is wanting to outpour in us His Holy Spirit in such a way that you and I might know that unlimited power that we spoke about in communion. God has given us the Holy Spirit in which He wants to minister in our everyday, normal, everyday work and life. It'll make the difference from what we do in our natural to what we can do in our supernatural. He's so interested in us that He's invested the divine part of the Godhead in your heart. Say to yourselves, I have invested by God, the Holy Spirit. He's invested in me, the divine Godhead. That's what lives inside us. Not a force, but the divine Godhead. I don't know about you, but that's mind-blowing. The one who put the stars into space. The one who creates everything. The one who sustains the world by His awesome, almighty power lives in here. He abides in here. In Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about that abidance, that you might know that He who abides, and he uses the Greek words, a permanent resident. Paul uses the Greek term, a permanent resident. Holy Spirit is not a guest, He's a permanent resident in our lives. And we looked last week and we finished on 2 Timothy 3:16. And this is what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's there to breathe the God breath of His Word. He's there that He might teach us. He's there that He might restore. He's there that He might bring us into this relationship that God so desperately wants to give us this morning. And we're going to take a look for a few moments. Because you see, if you can't trust the Bible, what can you trust? You see, the Bible contains information, not just about spiritual truths, but the Bible teaches about how to live our lives. The Bible teaches about good government. The Bible teaches about principles of hygiene. The Bible teaches truth about sanitation. The truth of psychology. The truth of human relationship. The rise and falls of civilizations. The Bible teaches us all that we need, and Peter said this, all that you need to make your life worthy is in the Scriptures. It's in the Bible. It's there for you. But we need that Scriptures to be inspired by God. We need it to be God-breathed. God-breathed into our lives. I wonder that when we read the Word of God, are we actually understanding what we read? Because the Bible is there to help us and teach us, as we quickly go through this, what God has to say. He wants to make you good at your business. He wants to make you good in your family life. He wants to do every part of your life. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest His power, His presence, so that you and I might live a life which is called victorious Christian living. God has put us on this planet that we might know joy of the Holy Spirit. A joy which bubbles from within, not from without. And God has so decreed it. This is what the Bible has to say. In Psalm 34 and 6, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, was at work in creation. The Holy Spirit is not just a thing. What does Genesis 1 verse 2 say? And God breathed upon the waters. God breathed upon the waters. And it became a living water. In Exodus 19:4, God said He bore the Israelites on eagle's wings when He brought them out of Egypt. Of course, they had to walk. This is a metaphor, by the way. You have broken bread this morning and you have drank wine. You have not ate God's flesh, or you have not drunk Christ's own blood. Christ is using a metaphor. Jesus said, I am a door, but no one thinks about Jesus as a door. Jesus said, I am a gate, but no one thinks of Jesus as an iron gate. It's a metaphor. Jesus is using it to say, I'm a door, and like a door, if you open the door and come in, I can come into your life. Jesus is saying, like a gate, if you swing the gate open, you can enter in. It's a metaphor. And when Jesus says, I will take you up on like eagle's wings, he's talking as a metaphor. In other words, he can lift you out of your present situation, and like an eagle who soars miles above the clouds, Christ can take you out of the place you are now and put you into the highest of heavens where you can know his peace, his power, and his presence in your life through every situation. He's using it as a metaphor. But that's what God wants to do through his Spirit. He's not going to take our troubles away, because the Bible says in James chapter 1, when we get troubles, not if we get troubles, when we get troubles, I want you to rejoice. Because James was saying, I'll tell you why I want you to rejoice, because when troubles come along, you can mount up like an eagle, you can run and not be weary, because the Spirit of God can so move in our lives. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to do for us. This is why we want the Holy Spirit to take us to the next level in our neighborhood and the people that we meet. Only the Holy Spirit can change our neighborhood. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can change our lives. And so the Hebrew language was that God was going to move through his Holy Spirit, and the children of Israel would mount up no matter what their circumstances were. The children of Israel would be successful, because it was not dependent on the children of Israel. It was dependent upon God. Time and time again in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God says to kings and to prophets and to seers, stand back and watch what I'm going to do. God, through his Holy Spirit, divided a Red Sea. He crossed the Jordan too. He pulled down the walls of Jericho. I want to tell you, we need to get excited what our God can do. What our God can do through his Spirit. And what he can do and change our lives. It's absolutely amazing. It is amazing. So we know that the Holy Spirit is a person. But for the next few moments before we close, I want to tell you the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was at work, as in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the Holy Spirit breathed in, and we got this wonderful hovering. The same word is used, Rosh, the same Hebrew word is used when the Holy Spirit moved over Mary and she conceived a child. She said, I have been born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had done something which enabled her to conceive our Savior. The same word is used as the same word that was used as God moved in Genesis chapter 1 and brought all things into being. I want to thank you that I don't come from a monkey. I don't come from a monkey. You might think there's a resemblance, but it's purely coincidental. God breathed into me the breath of life, and I became a living being because the Spirit of God moved in my life. And I don't need anyone to tell me that through generation from generation from generation, from a gorilla from wherever it was, you can see this change, you can see this change, you can see this change. I only need to know this. God breathed into me the breath of life. And that's what I'm saying. If we don't understand our scriptures, if we can't believe what the Bible says, I go back to what I spoke in a few moments. Solomon wrote one of the most amazing books in Ecclesiastes, and he talked about flowers, he talked about trees, he talked about the stars, he talked about the elements. He was a great philosopher, he was a great agriculturalist. Solomon was one of the wisest men, and he investigated everything. At the end of his life he said this, it's all meaningless if you haven't got God. If you don't know God this morning, it's meaningless, he said. Because Solomon came to realize that nature's very existence came because the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Genesis. He was the one who gave the abilities for the tabernacle to be built, for the tent to be built. He's the creator of the whole earth. And so we could go down this morning. I want to tell you the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. He is the source of power and strength when you read Judges. These scriptures are available to you if you want them. He was the giver of the artistic skills when they came to build the tabernacle. All he said was, get me two people out, and I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon them. You remember when Joshua came up to Moses and he said, Moses, all these guys are speaking in the Spirit. You need to stop them. And what did Moses turn around and say? He said, I wish everybody spoke in the Spirit. Because when we speak in the supernatural, we're speaking from that divine perspective. And these two men, Elihub, and I forget who the other guy was, they built the temple, they created gold and silver, and they did all this stuff. And the reason it was so good is because God breathed upon him and put his breath upon them. Christ is active in creation. He's active in the inspiration of prophecy and Micah chapter 3. He was the divine messenger. The Spirit of the Lord would fall upon people and give them a word. I want to tell you, this Holy Spirit is the inspiration of prophecy. We need to understand the Holy Spirit this morning. We're quickly running through these scriptures. They're just giving you some idea. Here God is pouring out his Holy Spirit. You see, not everyone received the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament times. God would fall on his Holy Spirit on someone. Do you remember the Holy Spirit left Saul? Do you remember when Saul disobeyed God, the Holy Spirit left him? Isn't it great to know that God has poured his Holy Spirit in New Testament time believers and it's there for good? Well, that doesn't mean to say we can't grieve him. That doesn't mean to say that we can't wound him. It doesn't mean to say we can't hurt him. When we live in lives that are totally anti to what God has decreed for our lives, we actually are hurting the Holy Spirit. But God has promised to pour out his Holy Spirit on specific people to do specific tasks. And here they are. These are the people who experience the power of a holy God living in their lives. Moses was a prophet, but he was only a prophet because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle was built on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Trying to get you to realize, because when we come to do the New Testament and finish this next week in the New Testament, I'm hoping you're going to go out from here knowing that all things are possible. All things are possible. That this Holy Spirit is not some it or something, but the Holy Spirit is this dynamic person who has been working even before the world began, because he breathed into the world and the world became a living being. And if God can create creation through this wonderful Holy Spirit, then God surely can do things to change our lives and make this place a kingdom for himself. He is unlimited. Samuel was the first recognized prophet, priest, and king, but he was powered by a holy, 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 holy spirit. Let's just go through them again before we finish this morning on this Holy Spirit. It is so important to understand the outworking and outpouring of a Holy Spirit. Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands upon him. Read the book of Daniel. When this king, wicked king, wanted to know some truth, his wife said, "Don't you know there's a man in your kingdom who serves you, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him?" This was a heathen woman, but she knew there was something different about this man called Daniel. Read it. And the king brought him in and said, "I hear the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is upon you." And Daniel was able to interpret dreams, his interpret visions of prophecies. And Daniel 9 chapter 27 tells you about things that are going to come to pass which have not yet been fulfilled yet. An amazing chapter is Daniel chapter 9. Those of you who've done the Revelation course know all about Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's 70th week. How the Holy Spirit moved in such a man that Daniel has seen things that you and I have not seen which are yet to come to pass. And the Apostle John had the same privilege and same pleasure and revelations. You see, God is able to show us the future. God is able to show us it. Through his Holy Spirit, there is nothing he can't do for us this morning. We need to understand we've got to go to a new level in this place. It said the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And what? The Spirit of the Lord stirred him up. Now Samson was a man. Now let's be honest and let's be brutal about this. Samson was a man who just could not keep his trousers up. He was a man who wanted every single woman he could possibly. Every time he saw a woman he desired, he wanted, he took. And the very thing that so entrapped him was to make him captive. Everything he saw, and in the end of the day, he was blinded. And he thought one day, you see, listen, I'm going to tell Delilah my secret, because it doesn't make any difference. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so he told her, and she cut off his hair. And when he woke up, it said the Spirit of God had disappeared. You see, Samson played about with God. to his own consequences and his own cost. Spirit of God is not a thing or an it or a force. It is a real dynamic person who you need to make sure that you honor him, and you need to ensure that you are obeying him, because what he will do in our lives will be wonderful, but he can be hurt. He can be wounded. And Samson, to his cost, found out you just can't play with God and get away with it. But the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. What did Job say? The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Listen, if Richard Attenborough, anyone tells you, Mary, you are in the second stage of the evolution plan, just take him to Job 33, verse 4. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of God made me, and the breath of life has been poured into me. And I'll tell you, they can go and search, Amber, and they can get their archaeological digs, and they can do it from now until you, or, well, until thousands of years come, and they'll never find an answer to creation unless they come and go to Job 33, verse 4. Because God cannot lie. Look at the prophecy of Joel. Come on, let's take a look at this. 800 years before Christ came, Joel said there's going to come a day when the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. And the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came and ministered to us. He said the Spirit is going to be poured upon all flesh. And then what I'm saying to you this morning is, in the New Testament times, you and I now, as soon as we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has been poured out for us now. God's word is wonderful. God's word is true. Why would God take so much time telling us about this lovely Holy Spirit if he didn't want us to use it? If he didn't want us to come under his authority? I'm sorry, but I'm Pentecostal, not because I'm a Pentecostal name. It's because I believe in the birth of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm Pentecostal. I was born in a Brethren church. But I stood there one Sunday morning, Peter, and I was standing just at the back of the church, just like you were. And I just said, God, if this is all there is to Christianity, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said to God, and I'm serious, God, I said to you, I'm standing here saved, but if this is what you've got to offer me, I'm struggling. And God made me wait years and years and years until an old car parked down in Reading when I'd come. And he asked me to go and buy a tape. And I didn't want to buy it because I didn't want to spend the money. I wanted the shopkeeper to give it to me free to test it for. You know when you used to go into them bills in the 60s and you could listen to the music before you bought one? You won't remember that, love. But in the 60s we could go to the shop, put a record on and listen to it, and then decide if we wanted to buy it. So we used to have a tape recorder in and listen to it and tape it and go, no, we didn't. That was only what they used to do in Brazil. In England, they didn't. But anyway, I walked out the shop because the shopkeeper wouldn't give it to me. I walked down the road and I felt the Spirit of God so convicted me, go back and buy it. So I did. I went back and I grudgingly bought it. As I say, I've been desperately wondering what's missing in my life. I put this on. It was 10 years after. I put this on and the Spirit of God so moved in that Graham Kendrick song. I can't remember the Graham Kendrick song. The Servant King. This is our God. And when that verse hit me, I tell you what, all heaven must have broke loose, because I was just enthralled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew what had been missing. And I danced up and down in that car. I didn't care when people were walking past. I just was so elated in the Holy Spirit. And that's what I kept saying to you last week. When the joy of the Holy Spirit hits you, you won't care who's sitting next to you. You won't care whether they're not worshipping. You won't be bothered because the Spirit of God's so moving in your life. All you can do is excited about this Holy Spirit. Seriously. It's a joy I have this morning as we're just singing this one. Oh, I just broke out this morning. I tell you, it's a joy that I wish I could put it in a bottle and sell you it. But praise God, he said, don't, Eddie. They can have it. It's free. But it's a joy. Doesn't mean that we're going to spend our lives in cuckoo land. It means that whatever situation I found myself, I know the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I know, says God. Jesus humanly said, I know the Spirit of God. And he went through more bad stuff than you and I will ever go through with. Believe me. Believe me. He never had a good life. But when you read his CV, it's pretty upsetting. Isn't it? And yet he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There's a difference, you see, and knowing people on Facebook and knowing someone very intimately. We can all have hundreds of friends on Facebook, but so much better to have two close friends. You can pick your phone up and say, I'm struggling here, can we have a coffee? Do you have friends like that? Intimate friends in whom you know you can go to. They're worth much more than all the Facebook friends. Now, please, I'm not knocking Facebook, I'm on Facebook. I'm just simply stating a fact. Let's not be Holy Spirit Facebook, but let's know him as a personal friend. I'm going to finish because it's nearly 10 past 11. 12 even. So I do need to finish. Answer me that question. Which is true about Joel's prophecy, B? It's still being alive today. We are finished. I've got to go through because I want to ask you what you want to do with the Holy Spirit this morning. And I want to bring a video clip in to finish a video clip off. This is about a man who found out about the Holy Spirit. This is what we've talked about this morning. I'm leaving that conclusion up for you because hopefully now you know that the Holy Spirit is a person. I hope you've seen the work of the Holy Spirit. I hope you've seen the promise of the Holy Spirit to us. How do I respond to the Holy Spirit this morning? How do I respond? Is this just a talk in which you've had to sit and endure? Or are you actually saying, I don't know the Spirit of God the way I would like to know the Spirit of God. I don't know him the way I want to know him. As I said, I've had a blessing this morning, but I don't want that just to be, have to wait till next Sunday to come and have another blessing. I want to wake up tomorrow morning knowing the joy of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because I want the best for my life. And the best for my life is God's impartation of the Holy Spirit which resides in my life, being allowed to express itself. And me being subject to it, which won't be easy, but beneficial. Tuesday night we're going to be walking around the streets again. I want the Holy Spirit to break into this neighbourhood like it's never broken. Because when it breaks in, these people will not be able to do anything about it, trust me. Trust me. And I believe the Holy Spirit can. And if you can walk, we beg you to plead with you to come out and walk with us on a Tuesday night.
Wanting to be involved in the whole photographic world. But the only job he gave us, his first job, was the very, very bottom. He was basically a tea boy in a photographic company. And what happened was, in this photographic company, it got itself into problems, and everybody was either sacked or resigned, including the editor and managing director. So Nigel became the managing director. And he turned this company completely round. He turned it from an alien company into a very successful company, winning awards all over the world. But it kind of didn't satisfy him. He thought, well, maybe I'll move to another company. So he moved to another company that was also a job. And he made that more successful than the company he had left. And it still didn't satisfy him. He thought, well, maybe I should set up my own company. So he set up his own photographic company, and he made that more successful than the other two companies. And it still didn't satisfy him. He said, well, what I would really love to do is to be the pictures editor of a major national newspaper. And he became the pictures editor of the Sun Telegraph, which is what he is today. And in one sense, he had absolutely everything. He had a beautiful wife, two great sons, had a wonderful home, he was driving a Porsche 911, and yet he said, deep down, he was unhappy. And he found that he hated himself. And he hated his neighbour as much as he hated himself. And he discovered that his nickname at the Sunday Telegraph was The Beast. And he was on holiday one time and he heard about the Elks. And in particular, he heard about the Saturday evening of the weekend and the possibility to experience the Holy Spirit, the love of God being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And he thought, that is what I want. So he came back to England, he came on the course, but really he was just sitting through the course because he wanted to come on the weekend and he wanted a Saturday night on the weekend. So he came on the weekend and during the morning talks he was just longing for the Saturday evening. Saturday evening talk, he was just longing for the bit when we invite the Holy Spirit to come. And as he said, the more he sat through my talks, the more depressed he got. And after the weekend, he wrote me a long letter, his entire life history. And he described what happened to him during the weekend. He said, "I'll never forget that final session. I felt as though I was being torn in two. Halfway through, I just couldn't stand it anymore. The prize was so near, and you were getting there so slowly." I literally wanted to scream out, "Do it now! Do it now! I can't hold out any longer." I'm not exaggerating when I say I was in agony. Quite a common experience for people listening to my talks. Then the Holy Spirit came. And oh, the relief. Do you know, for the first time in my life, I feel normal. Seems a strange thing to say, but it keeps hitting me just how normal I feel. I also feel loved. I feel accepted for who I am. And I feel free. Terribly cliche, isn't it? But I feel oh so free. Yesterday, I read some words of Paul in Philippians which express so deeply how I now feel about my achievements of the last 15 years. For whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him.
Successful, successful, successful. But like me, he knew there was something missing. And he counts all his financial business and everything as a loss to have had that one event in his life. And when Wendy said to me about, "Can I say this about," she felt God saying this morning, that falls exactly in line. I can't see you, Wendy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And that's exactly what God is saying. The problem is we're not hungry enough for this Holy Spirit, whether we're frightened of it, whether we think he's going to do things that's going to change our lives. Well, he is. If you believe God is a good God, you'll believe the change will be for good. If you're not believing that God is such a good God, then I can understand why you might think the Holy Spirit's going to take me to journeys where I'll be unpleasant. That man went on the Alpha course for one lesson, the Holy Spirit. He wanted to know the Holy Spirit so he could come and feel and experience the love of Jesus. And the reason we don't know the love of Jesus, I've been going on about it all morning, is because we have not yet experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You've experienced the Holy Spirit when you've got saved. I'm not talking. I'm talking about receiving the Holy Spirit in all its fullness this morning. I am hungry, Holy Spirit. Only you can fill me. 15 years of mega business. And he said, "I counted all that but loss for one moment with the Holy Spirit." I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I've told you the Holy Spirit worked in the creation and it worked in the beginning of your life. That's all in the Old Testament. We haven't even done the New Testament. But I believe God wants you to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe he wants to so encapture your life this morning that will take you to places you've never seen in the Spirit. I believe he wants to give you a joy for Jesus you've never known. A joy to witness, a joy just to know. Do you remember the man said, after receiving the Holy Spirit, "I was surprised at how normal I was." God is not going to make you freakish. You will still be the normal person you are. The difference will be the empowering, indwelling empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's yours this morning. Because you have it. You take your own minute as I ask the musicians to come and come to the front now as they play the final song, take the offering up so we close our meeting. Would you quietly come to the front, musicians? Those of you, please stay. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Just pray for the Holy Spirit right now. If you want prayer for the Holy Spirit and you want to come to the front, you can. You can just receive it right where you are right now. This is a quiet moment. This is not a moment to... And all I'm doing is asking the musicians to come forward. Holy Spirit, I believe, Lord, that you're looking for people who are hungry. that you might fill them as Wendy's word came this morning. It was not by accident, Holy Spirit. Father, I believe, Lord, if they're hungry this morning, you will fill them. Whether they want to be prayed for, Lord, or whether they want to just say to themselves, Holy Spirit, I'm hungry and I need you. I surrender everything to you, Holy Spirit. I ask you for, let me experience the fullness of your power, the fellowship of the Godhead. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to take all of me and show me how to live from today. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, will you come and fill us? Power your love.